It is time once again for Radio Rotary here at WHVW. Scott has books on his mind as usual.
I love books. And that's right. This is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210. Any of these shows, now, past, or future, you can download from the website. That's Rotary District 7210. And today we have a very interesting show, and we're going to do a little bit differently today. Instead of me just asking and they answering, we're going to have a roundtable discussion about everything from how school and public libraries can work together to information literacy to all sorts of ideas. And today I have four wonderful librarians, and if you listened to our earlier show 2 weeks ago, you know that we have librarians that are not like the librarians of the stereotypical librarian of 50 or 60 years ago or more. But these are tremendous community people, wonderful librarians that love to share with children and adults. They are terrific. And we have Pauline and Margaret and Beth and Kate all sitting around a table. We're going to start with a general question. How can school and public libraries work together? Just answer away.
Well, I think that we do work together as much as we can. We're always looking for new ways to work together. Certainly, the public librarians come into our schools and help to distribute the forms that students need for public library cards. We encourage our students to go to the public library for extra reading materials and research materials that they may not be able to get to in school, or that they don't have time to get to in school and may have to go to on a weekend.
And I'll put in that if you hear this show and you go to the library and you tell them that Scott told me it's okay to get a free library card, you just tell them that and you can get a free library card anytime you say Scott says it's okay. You go and get that free library. Scott says you get a free library card. Margaret.
The public libraries and the schools share a lot of the same databases, which is just a fancy word for a collection of a lot of information on the internet. And if your son or daughter is a student at the school and is interested in getting into a certain database and doesn't have time to do it at school, chances are they can go to the public library, or with their public library card, they can access all of those databases at home from your home computer. So we do share a lot of the same resources in that respect and support what the schools are doing.
Margaret, before you go away, can you tell me when you say database, what do you mean? There's so many of us out there that maybe don't know what you're talking about.
Well, a database is just a collection, in the case of the ones that we're talking about here, a collection of articles from magazines, from journals, from newspapers, on a certain topic. And the databases that both the schools and the public libraries have come through a program from the state library called Novel. And it's you can get articles from the more mainstream magazines like Time and Newsweek, or you can get more professional journal articles if you have a son or daughter who's doing a very high-level report for school. You can get the New York Times. You can get Consumer Reports. You can get all kinds of information. And in addition, at the public library, probably more of interest to adults, we have something called Priceit, which is a database of antique prices. So if you found something in your grandmother's attic and you're about to throw it out, don't do it. Go and look online and see if you can find out that, like the Roadshow, Antiques Roadshow on PBS, you might find out that you have a real treasure. We have Chilton's auto mechanics, auto information. So if you're trying to fix your car at home, you can go online and find out, you know, which gizmo goes into which slot, type of thing. So there are lots of resources that are very practical. There also are some test databases where if you're preparing to take a civil service test, you're taking the policeman's test. A lot of the test information is online, and you can take practice tests and see how you do.
That's tremendous. It's almost amazing how much is available in your library. And Pauline has an example of a article that was downloaded. You know, these are the full articles, right? It's not just like a summary of it or something.
In most cases, yes.
Yeah. I think the beauty of the databases is how easy it makes it to get the information. when I was a younger person, I would go to my public library and go to the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature, and I would have to look up every single search term individually, and then I would have to go down into the basement and hope that the magazines would be there, or that the microfiche machine was available, or whatever it was. Now that just comes up almost instantaneously, and they can even search more than one database at a time. So we all share the novel databases from New York State, and then the public library has some others that they subscribe to. And we have some, particularly for our students, that we subscribe to. For example, we have teachingbooks.net, which is all about books and authors. And it's a wonderful resource for not only our students, but for our teachers.
Now, so, to access these databases, you go to the homepage of the Mid-Hudson, or do you go to the homepage of your local library?
Your local library.
Go to your local library.
Or your school district.
Or your school district. So they both have it.
Yes.
And then you insert your, in the case of the public library, your library card number.
Correct.
And then you start searching. It says databases, and or what is it? What is
it? It's called Home Access.
Home Access.
There's a button on every public library page that says Home Access, and you click on that, and it gives you a listing of by topic and a listing by titles of magazines.
And it's very easy
and
to
and
use.
Newspaper articles. Very easy to use. So, and you can be assured also of the quality of the information you're finding. Everybody knows about doing a Google search, but when you go out and do a Google search, the information that you bring back may be good. It may be written by Joe Schmo in somewhere
basement.
In his basement, and it's his theory about, you know, evolution or whatever, but it doesn't have any basis in fact. So you have to be careful of that, especially for students when they're trying to do reports. They need to be getting information that has been authenticated by librarians and people who are knowledgeable in the different fields.
So Kate, but I want to ask you a question about this. The difference between a public library and the school library, the information that Margaret was just talking about, is that also available at school?
Yes, and a lot of the school districts, what they have is, I know when I send my students in to do a search in the databases or even for books, I allow them to do it through my school, but they also go, I show them how to do the district the search through the public library. So particularly if they're looking for a book on Clara Barton, they can look to see what I have, but I also show them how to do it through the public library, so in case mine is out or they need a different level, they can do that. With the databases, they'll go on to my home page, or most of the schools in the area have their own school home page that would show them the different databases. And they're very easy to use from the school. They can get into them from any school computer. From home, there's home access, just like it would be at the public library, and the students are given passwords and IDs from their school librarian. And they're shown how to use these databases and how to do searches.
So this password is different than your library card, then?
From the school. From the school access, yes. And it's very user friendly. It's very similar to doing a Google search, but like Margaret said, the information is authenticated. It's done by an educated professional, has made sure that the information is good. And I know in my school and with Pauline that we do a training for the students who are coming in as sixth graders. We teach them how to do this. We teach them how to do the search through the databases, how to also, if they do go to a web page through a Google search or your hooligans or something, that how to verify information, verifying that it's valid information. It's not written by Joe Schmo sitting in his basement. You know, that it's actually valid. And
that
we teach
recent information.
Recent information. So we're trying to teach them not only, you know, to use the resources we have, but if they have to go outside of that realm, how to be educated and how to be information literate on their own. So if they do come into the situation where they can't get into the database, they know how to look up and validate information themselves.
So librarians no longer just sit and check books out.
No.
They have to be technically.
We haven't done that in a long time.
We have so much more to do than that.
They have to be technically savvy. They have to be able to interact with the community.
I think one of the differences in the databases that we have is that the public library databases are much broader. They range for not only our students but also for adults, whereas the databases that we tend to subscribe to are really geared to curriculum and the things that our students will need.
The grade level that you're working with.
And the grade level, right. So Mindy at Traver Road may have a very different database for her first and second graders than I do in my middle school, or and certainly different databases than they will have at the high school.
Well, but would Kate, you're at a middle school as well, would you have the same database that Pauline has?
We have some similarities and we have some differences only because our needs are different. We have a different demographic of our students, and our likes and dislikes are also different. And one thing I do want to say is if a parent is listening to this and they are not sure and they don't understand this, that they can contact us, their school librarians, mm-hmm. and we can help them understand how to use the database.
Or their child can help
you. So they then in turn can help their students if they need to.
Now, this is great, and it's wonderful information. And we're going to keep talking to our four great librarians when we come back, but here's a word from Rotary International.
In 1985, while polio was paralyzing 1,000 children a day, Rotary International committed to a goal of ending polio worldwide. Very soon now, after contributing nearly $600 million and immunizing over 2 billion children, the goal will be achieved. Eradicating polio worldwide. That is humanity in motion. That is Rotary.
We are back, and we are talking with four magnificent librarians. And Margaret, thank you for Battle of the Books. It was wonderful this year, just as always. You did a great job again. Wonderful students. Now, we've been talking to public... Right now, we've been talking to two public librarians about databases and a little bit from the... From the overall view, with Margaret talking to the Mid-Hudson Library System. Now, Beth is at the Poughkeepsie Library, or Adrian's, and she's going to tell us from a public library's point of view.
At the Poughkeepsie Public Library District, we have a really great website that has a lot of tons and tons of adult databases that encompass many general topics and more specific ones, but we also have some databases for kids and teens geared just towards them.
I interrupt you for one second here, Beth? Mm-hmm. You work with students from what age level? When what's your official title?
A youth services librarian. So I work up to eighth grade.
Up to eighth grade. So what happens to the high school students then?
The high school students would go into the adult section to work with young adult librarians and also adult librarians. Okay. That's ninth grade and up. For me, I work with infants through eighth graders. So
is there sometimes... And you're in eighth grade or seventh grade, you can read an older book, mm-hmm. and same thing might apply if you're an older student.
Yes.
You need to come down. Can they?
Certainly.
You can help. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a public librarian, you do have to be in many ways a generalist. But about our website and the online databases and other online resources that we have there, in addition to our databases, we offer a lot of homework help support through websites as well that I've actually chosen and posted to the website so that these very authoritative homework help sites on either general homework help sites or on specific topics like history or literature have been evaluated through a professional librarian so that parents and kids can trust that the information gotten from these websites is possibly more authoritative than just if you Google a subject.
So this is a great point. Those parents who need help with their homework, with the children's homework. can go to the local public library's website, mm-hmm. and we're talking about Adrian's in particular, and they have their, it's called a homework, what's the?
I just called it Homework Help.
Homework Help, and so you click on that link, mm-hmm. and it will take you to the subject that you need, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, actually I do call it the Homework Center. It has Homework Help websites, and it also we have a really great resource called Subject Guides, and that puts together put together by librarians where you have online resources, print resources, online databases, links to the databases on a particular subject that is curriculum-based. For instance, we have a lot of kids come in that need information on Native Americans every year, so we just put together the subject guide that gets all of these print and online resources together in one spot for them to it's a starting point for them.
It's a great help. Mm-hmm. So you go to the local library's website, or here in this case we're talking Poughkeepsie, Homework Help. Does the Mid-Hudson have a site like that too? Or
We have a site that's a really outstanding example of public libraries and schools working together. About 5 years ago, Duchess Bosie's had a grant to create a homework site, and it is called Lifelines, and it's divided into two sections. There's K through 4 and 5 through 12, and it again is librarians and teachers have identified excellent websites on different topics that are totally related to the curriculum, and then put them into a manageable format for kids and parents to use in the homework area. So in addition, it has information about college searching and financing and a variety of help issues that would help parents with the college process. So it's linked to every public library's website in the Mid-Hudson Library System, and to, I think, probably all of the schools in the area now as well.
So the schools, Kate and Pauline, you have this as well?
We all connect. We all make sure that our students are right. Linked through there and know how to get to that so they can use that. We also give out the Lifelines bookmarks at open houses and make sure that parents understand how to use it.
So recommended we use these great sites, both for public and private, and the school libraries. What else do we want to talk about today?
I just wanted to tell you about a collaboration that we're doing through the Poughkeepsie Public Library District and the Moore School in Poughkeepsie, an example of some outreach that we're really trying to get that rolling with the schools. I'm coordinating a program starting this fall called Primetime Family Reading. It's designed for children and their families in grades 1 through 3. Any child at Moore School who may be having some difficulty reading or that their parents feel they're at a reading disadvantage, the parents are invited to sign their child up for this program. I'll actually be at the back-to-school night at the Moore School in the beginning of September. They can also call me at the library to enroll their child in the program. And the program is on-site at the Moore School on Tuesday nights beginning in October. It includes a meal. And then we go to the library and have a storytelling and book discussion session. There's also a preschool component for any siblings that who are age 3 to 5 that they can be a part of the program as well, but in a separate room because, you know, if we're having a book discussion, preschoolers could be a little disruptive. And participants will learn more about the public library, but also we hope to spark their interest in reading more. So it's very much a literacy program.
I am so impressed. For the past 25 years, I have been working with librarians, both public and in schools. They are so magnificent, these librarians, and they're fun, they're interesting, they're just amazing people, and they have lots of resources. So don't hesitate to call your school librarian, your public librarian, or even, Mid-Hudson Valley, Mid-Hudson system. You can get information from there. They've got great websites, wonderful people. Just keep using your library, keep reading. Pauline, do you have some other issues that we would like to talk about today?
Well, I think one of the things that we've purchased recently that sort of straddles the technology database end and the book end are e-books. Those are great because a lot of what we have purchased are reference books. And it just makes it so much easier when you have a class come into the library and everybody wants to know about the 1960s, for example, or the 1920s. To have some of these books actually on a computer where they can easily search through the index. They have pictures. They're just like having the book in your hand, except they're on the computer, and then they're also accessible at home as well. So that's major for us.
Do they hurt when you're sleeping in bed and you go to sleep?
If you have a Kindle, perhaps. But otherwise, no. No, they don't hurt.
They fall on your chest.
Yeah, that's about it.
I still love to hold a book. I'm sorry. I'm old and traditional.
Well, I think as librarians, I think we do too, but we have to look ahead, and you know, we see the girls here, you know, they're texting, they're using a lot of technology. And if you look into the future, there's just going to be more of that. So I don't know that we keep on top of it, but our students teach us a lot, and we're trying really hard to to have things that they enjoy as
well. Feel comfortable with.
So things like teaching books where there are videos of authors or books that can be read to the student. They can watch it being read and be interactive. Those are all wonderful.
Right, and we're going to have another word from Rotary International, and we'll be right back with our four terrific librarians.
Somewhere in the United States, a troubled teenage boy decides he's better off staying in school. Somewhere in India, a child is immunized against polio. Because somewhere a local Rotary Club has become involved. Whether it's funding scholarships, creating neighborhood centers, or ridding the world of one of its most horrible diseases, Rotary members believe anything is possible. Rotary, humanity in motion. Visit Rotary.org, celebrating 100 years of helping others.
We are back, and we are speaking with four terrific librarians about issues facing them today and everything from funding to databases. Tremendously, if you missed the first part of the program, go to the website, Rotary District 7210, and download the program. And now I have a question of our librarians, and Rotary is very interested in literacy and has been forever. And, for example, Millbrook Rotary is involved in two literacy projects. And so for the past 5 years, our club has given a dictionary to each third grader in the four local schools, public and private. And we've given at least 125 dictionaries at each September. And they've been well received by the students. I know they love them. And they use them. And then they only cost $2.99 from the Merritt Bookstore. So.
Shane Morgan.
Shane, I know they work. So, but then also Millbrook Rotary has this, gives a book to the graduating eighth graders in the local schools. And so from a large pool of about 15 books, the principal or teacher decides on a list of 6 books from which that eighth grade class will choose, and the student picks the book that they want to read over the summer or have for the rest of their life. And those are two programs that the Millbrook Rotary does, and I know there are other Rotary around the nation that does other literacy programs. Do you have some recommendations to give to Rotaries that would help you and help the students, if you have something already that a Rotary is doing with you? Who would like to? Margaret would like to answer that?
Public libraries are always happy to have sponsors, and I think probably the best way to approach that would be for any Rotary to go to their local public library and ask how they can help. Very often, if they're doing preschool programs and they want to give out a book as a little prize or an incentive to each child who takes part, that's a way that the Rotary could become involved. If it's a library in a community where there are a lot of children who may not have a lot of books at home, it's a really good foundation for the home library and to get the kids thinking about reading on a regular basis, as well as the parents. So early literacy is a huge issue now across the country, and both the schools and the public libraries are really focused on that and making sure that kids get to school prepared to read. So anything that the Rotary could do locally to help with that would be excellent.
Great. What about anybody else?
Yes. I was just thinking the last show we all did together was about
that was a few weeks ago,
books.
Right?
Yeah. And the Battle of the Books. I could certainly use some donations, some support for that program, because we have team T-shirts, and we could even say on our website that a Rotary Club sponsored our team by buying the T-shirts or by buying extra copies of the 10 books that we read for each child to receive one at the end of the program, things like that. So public libraries are always looking for donations.
Well, the Poughkeepsie Rotary is near you, of course, and the Arlington, and there's a couple of, I think there's at least 3 or 4 Rotaries right around you, so I'm sure that we can get them to help you. If you just walk over there and ask them, go be the lunchtime speaker or the supper time speaker. You'll have to do that. Tell them what you do. Kate? Oh, Kate.
The school library is always facing funding cuts too, as in all, you know, a lot of the school budgets this year face, you know, voting situations and vote, you know, and there's always cuts at the school library along with the public library. So at any point, any funding, any assistance, I'm starting a program this year where I'm trying to get students to initiate using the media and starting to have them do book reports on audio and doing podcasts and things like that, because the students are so in tune with the music and the iPods and using the computers. So I'm trying to get them to incorporate both the book, the print book, and the media. So I'm always looking for, you know, we're always looking for different programs to roll out to keep our literacy, to keep our students involved. So any kind of involvement or any kind of sponsorship or help is always appreciated.
Is it possible to have, and not only just donations, but Rotarians volunteer their time in some fashion? Is that a...
Absolutely.
Pauline loves
yes,
that idea.
That was my thought. Certainly in the elementary schools, I mean, reading is so important. You can't read a website unless you know how to read. So I think that if anybody was interested in volunteering, they should contact their local school. I know the elementary schools especially are always looking for somebody to sit with a child and listen to them read to them, share that companionship over books. We have so many families now where both parents work and really aren't around very much that we've lost a lot of that. Let's cuddle up and take a half an hour and read a good book together. So anything that a volunteer could come in and take over that role of, you know, mom, dad, grandma for half an hour, that would be terrific.
Margaret has some ideas too.
Following up on that, I know that Rotary now and for many years has allowed women to join, but may still in many cases be predominantly males. And
not
it's
the Millbrook
very,
Rotary.
Not the Millbrook Rotary? Well, there's a huge problem with boys not reading in this country, and one of the issues where the Rotary could help is to go into the school as a volunteer to read, so that boys see that males do read. It's almost a crisis, and so I think and if you look in most elementary schools, you'll see very, very few male teachers as well, so they don't see a lot of male models reading, and that's an important way that Rotary might be able to contribute.
That's a great point. That's a wonderful point.
Just about every spring, most of the elementary schools do a Parents as Reading Partners program, and they have different people come in, sometimes from the community. They'll reach out and ask for the community, and there might be a DARE officer, or there might be a police officer, or someone who comes in and reads. So that would be a great opportunity for someone from the Rotary to come in to help with their nighttime programs where they promote reading. And like Margaret says, it's great to have the male role model, because unfortunately a lot of our families, you know, don't have the positive male role model to read to them.
So these are some great ideas. Rotary can help not only with funding but with time. Come in and read, help out shelving books or whatever. No.
You could also go to Lobby Day in March every year and advocate for more funding for school and public libraries.
Amen.
That's a great...
We have a bus that goes every year, and all you have to do is contact us and sign up, and you're welcome to join us. It's nice to have somebody other than librarians do that, you know, somebody from
someone
the community
who
understands the importance of libraries.
That's a great point. Beth, you had something there.
Public libraries need volunteers as well. We do have a volunteer coordinator.
And we're talking about Adrian's Library now.
The Adrian's Library. Well, actually, Poughkeepsie Public Library District also.
Oh, the whole district.
Branch.
Okay.
Yeah, because we serve the city and the town of Poughkeepsie. She tries to match you up, a volunteer up, with their interests and the needs of the library. For instance, I'm going to need maybe one or two volunteers for the primetime read to help me facilitate the preschool portion of that program, and also help me register families, et cetera. So volunteers are always needed at public and school libraries.
And it's fun to read to the students. I remember I read all the time to students, and I remember one time a school asked me to come and read, and they said, you're going to read to a fourth grade. So I came over, and I was looking for the classroom. I couldn't find it. They said, oh, they're all in the library. And so they had the whole fourth grade was in the library sitting on the floor all at once, over 100 students, and I said, you know, I haven't read this book yet, so you have to listen very carefully, because I can't read and listen at the same time. And at the end, you need to tell me what the story was all about. And they did. They were terrific. They were so quiet. And then I said, what happened? Was it a good story? You know, I asked them all these questions. And they loved it, and they gave back the story to me, and differently than I read, but no, just easy. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So don't hesitate to come and read in your public library. Don't hesitate to read in your school library. Contact the right people, the volunteer organizers, the librarians. They will get you to the right place. Rotary loves literacy. Rotary loves reading. We have been talking to four wonderful librarians. This is our second show with them. They are magnificent people. They're Beth from Poughkeepsie Youth. Her official title is Poughkeepsie Youth.
Youth Services Librarian.
Youth Service Librarians. Margaret from the Mid-Hudson, her official title is?
Coordinator of Youth Services.
Coordinator of Youth Services. And Pauline is, what is your official title?
I'm a school library media specialist.
But aren't you also head of all libraries?
I am. In Arlington, I am a library coordinator, yes.
She's head of all the Arlington libraries.
Sometimes they call me library guru.
I was going to say, is it guru? I was going to say that.
Or queen of the library.
And Kate Sprague Hicks is from the Unionvale Middle School. And you're the library media specialist there.
Yes, I am.
Well, we are out of time, and this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley. Go and listen to any of these shows on Rotary District 7210. Thank you.